Welcome to day 275 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are entering into our second day out of the year of going through the New Testament. We completed the Old Testament just a few days ago, and today we will be reading Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 from the Amplified Bible. So we have less than 90 days left in this year, having completed the entire Old Testament, and now we're going to make our way through the exciting and powerful New Testament together. So thank you for joining me. Today we will be reading the very beginning of the entrance of Jesus, the Messiah, into the world. And we begin in Matthew 1 with the ancestry of Jesus through the bloodline of Mary and Joseph, which were both descendants of King David, which was prophesied that the Messiah would come through that lineage. So as we begin Matthew chapter 1, we are starting at the first verse. The book of the ancestry, genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the son, descendant of David, the son, descendant of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Aram, Aram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of King David, King David the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Jehoram, Joram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah became the father of Jeconiah, also called Coniah and Jehoiachin, and his brothers about the time of the removal, deportation to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Salathiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Sadok, Sadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, Matan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. From David to the Babylonian exile, deportation, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. When his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her promised husband, Joseph, being a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss, divorce her quietly and secretly. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of, from, out of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins, that is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. All this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife. But he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Luke chapter 2. In those days it occurred that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole Roman Empire should be registered. This was the first enrollment, and it was made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all the people were going to be registered, each to his own city or town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused married wife, who was about to become a mother. And while they were there, the time came for her delivery, and she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room or place for them in the inn. And in that vicinity there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill, of his favor." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing," saying, "that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told them concerning this child. and all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all these things, sayings, weighing and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when the baby was to be circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time for their purification, the mother's purification and the baby's dedication, came according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be set apart and dedicated and called holy to the Lord. And they came also to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, cautiously and carefully observing the divine law, and looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been divinely revealed, communicated to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And prompted by the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple enclosure, and when the parents brought in the little child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised and thanked God and said, "And now, Lord, you are releasing your servant to depart, leave this world in peace, according to your word. For with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have ordained and prepared before in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to disclose what was before unknown, and to bring praise and honor and glory to your people Israel." And his legal father and his mother were marveling at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed and destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the secret thoughts and purposes of many hearts may be brought out and disclosed." And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, having lived with her husband 7 years from her maidenhood, and as a widow even for 84 years. She did not go out from the temple enclosure, but was worshiping night and day with fasting and prayer. And she too came up at that same hour, and she returned thanks to God and talked of Jesus to all who were looking for the redemption, deliverance of Jerusalem. And when they had done everything according to the law of the Lord, they went back into Galilee to their own town, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the Passover feast. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as was their custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know this, But supposing him to be in the caravan, they traveled on a day's journey. And then they sought him diligently, looking up and down for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem, looking for him up and down all the way. After 3 days, they found him, came upon him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. And when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Here your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, distressed and tormented." And he said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business?" But they did not comprehend what he was saying to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was habitually obedient to them. And his mother kept and closely and persistently guarded all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in favor with God and man. This is the end of today's scripture reading. So often when we talk about the early days of Jesus and the birth of Christ, Joseph is so often sort of a background figure. Mary figures more prominently as Jesus's mother, but as far as Joseph and his character are concerned, we have to glean from the relatively few verses where he is mentioned. And yet, if you look closely, you will find not only the simple, hard-working carpenter, but a God-fearing man who is willing to obey God like Mary, regardless of the cost to him personally. And I want to point out the character of Joseph today because, like Mary's, it challenges us in our own lives. Yesterday we talked about how for God to be able to bring Christ the Messiah into the world in the way that he had designed and had foreordained it to be through the virgin birth, he had to find someone who was willing to agree with God, to be that person, to be submitted to God's will. And he found that person in Mary. And yet, just like Mary, Joseph had to be willing to obey God as well. He had to be willing to submit himself, to set aside his personal desires, set aside his reputation, and submit himself to God's perfect will, to come into agreement with God that he would be willing to stand in as the legal guardian, essentially, of Jesus, yet not his true father. For a Jewish man in the society in which Joseph lived, this was something that would not be a desirable position. Even less desirable would be to marry someone who was found to be pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph was a godly man. The scriptures tell us as much. He was someone who truly was God-fearing. He devoted himself to obeying the scriptures and to fulfilling the Mosaic law. And so when he was faced with what was essentially a crisis, finding his fiancée to be pregnant, he knew it was not his own child. he was in a situation that was very critical. His decision could mean life or death for Mary, and it absolutely meant damage to his own reputation regardless of what he decided. If Joseph had denied that child as being his own, then he would have been essentially placing Mary in a situation where she was not only going to be open to the ridicule and shame of the community, that was a given in that society, but potentially placed in a situation where she would be censured, rejected, and outcast from the community, and legally she could have been stoned to death according to the Mosaic law. So Joseph was in a very difficult situation when he learned of Mary's pregnancy. It was shameful for him as the man who had chosen this young girl as his espoused wife. They were to live pure in purity separately for the approximately 1 year period of espousal, the time frame before they were to be married. And with her coming forward as pregnant, he was ashamed, as if he had chosen someone who had loose morals. So it already cast Paul over his character simply by being associated with her. But now he had to make a decision. Was he going to openly, publicly repudiate her so that everyone would know she had been immoral, as far as they could imagine, since the child was not Joseph's? And while he was thinking about what he would do, the scripture tells us, and he wasn't willing, it says he was a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her. He decided to just divorce her quietly, essentially not divorce as we know it today, which takes place after a person's married, but to break the espousal or this engagement, which was as good as being married, yet they had not yet been joined together as man and wife. So he was in a situation, and yet his godliness, his heart, he could have been very prideful about the situation and been so angry that Mary had brought shame on his name by turning up pregnant, so to speak. But instead, he had a very tender heart, and this is very obvious from this simple verse in Luke 2:19. Her promised husband, Joseph, being a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her, he had such a tender heart, he wasn't willing for her, even though he had to think that she had been immoral with someone else. He still had such tenderness, he wanted to protect her from public disgrace. You see a great tenderness of character by that decision alone. And then the scripture tells us that while he was thinking this over, he has a dream in which the angel of the Lord appears to him and gives him this astonishing revelation, telling him that what was conceived in Mary was from the Holy Spirit, not from a man. Now that was a revelation that was unlike anything he'd ever heard of, thought of, dreamed of. It had never been seen in the earth. How was he even to believe it? Secondly, the angel told him, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. So not only was he being told that something that had never happened to anyone else in the history of mankind had occurred to Mary through the Holy Spirit, but secondly, he's being commanded to marry her. and allow this birth of this child that was not his own, and to be willing to be the father. Now that required an amazing submission to God, to be willing to step forward and marry Mary at this point in time and in her life. This was something that really tested Joseph's character. Was he willing to humble himself? Was he willing to lay aside his own pride? Because absolutely, that situation in that society brought shame on his name. People were going to think either he was immoral if he married her, it must have been his baby, and he was immoral with her before they got married, or he was a fool to marry someone who was immoral with another man and then to take on that child as his own. Either way, Joseph's reputation was damaged, and yet he was willing to come under the will of God, willing to put himself in a situation where he had to not care about what anyone else thought in order to obey the Lord, in order to be used by God, to be essentially the foster father for Jesus, the human legal guardian for the Son of God as he was raised from infancy. A high calling, and yet not a calling that anyone in that society could possibly understand. No one else believed them, without a doubt, but Joseph was a godly man. Joseph believed that angel. Joseph was willing to surrender his own ego and his pride and his reputation to do the will of God. What about you? Are there situations where God wants you to humble yourself to do his will, but you're not willing to be looked upon in a negative way, and you're afraid of what other people will think if you do that thing God has asked you to do? Think about Joseph. This was much more of a test than anything we deal with on a daily basis, and yet he passed that test. He humbled himself. He set aside his pride. He didn't care what anyone else thought. He was going to obey the will of God to do this thing of taking Mary in as his wife, not to have relations with her until after the birth of that child, and then to raise that child as if it was his own, yet he knew it was not. What a man of God this Joseph was. It speaks to us about our dedication of the Lord, our consecration to God's will, our willingness to let our pride fall to the ground and not care what anyone thinks or what our reputation looks like. One time the Lord spoke to me when I was complaining to the Lord about something when I was in the early years of our marriage, and I was disturbed by something that someone had said about my husband, and I thought it was very damaging to his reputation. He was in his very first ministerial position, and the Lord told me these words that have stayed with me all these years. You don't have to worry about his reputation with any other person. Only his reputation with me is what matters. And that was the case with Joseph. Joseph's reputation with God, willing to surrender, willing to obey, willing to lay down his pride, willing to follow the will of God and lay aside the thoughts of other people and his reputation with the rest of mankind. God's calling us to that kind of consecration, that kind of dedication, so that we too can be used by God for his purposes. But it will always require humility, such as we see in the life of Joseph. God bless you and give you a victorious week.